Okay, so feel free to interrupt me at any point as we go through this. So just generally, I was going to discuss the giving and expenses from our old fiscal year, which was March to December. And then we'll discuss sort of what that looks like relative to our proposed budget for next year. And then also talk a little bit about the giving to Valley Bible Church, because that was a big part of the finances this last 9 months or so, or 10 months. Okay, so this number that you see here, total general fund giving, you'll notice it's a little different than the one in the bulletin, the 302 number. And that's because this includes some funds that were given directly to Valley Bible that didn't go into the checking account, which is how Eric tracks the 302. So this number comes from a software that Bob has been working with called PowerChurch. And we're trying to make more use of that, and I'll talk at the end of this a little later, so that it's easier to do accounting and figure out exactly where the finances are at any point. So this matches the 302. It's just that it includes some funds that bypass the checking account. And then if you take out all the contributions to Valley Bible, and then I'll break that out on the next slide, the total general fund giving to Wildwood Bible since March, from March to December, was basically this number, 238. So I'll compare that to what our budget was for that period. And you'll see we're a little short. So the Valley Bible Church funds that were directed there include seed funds from a savings account, $25,000, as I'll show you in a minute. It includes Wildwood attenders who remained at Wildwood who gave contributions. It includes Wildwood members who moved to Valley Bible. And then it also includes salary support for Pastor Greg during the transition. That isn't included explicitly in the numbers, but we provided that support as he focused and switched gears in concentrating toward the church plant. So those are all sort of the different types of support that our church played in helping the Valley Bible Church plant. So that amounts to, at least those direct monies amount to about $103,000. That includes the seed funds, $25,000. It includes the Wildwood remaining members giving to Valley Bible and Wildwood Valley attenders who gave to or Wildwood Valley Bible Church attenders who gave to Valley Bible Church. And these two numbers Bob tracked pretty carefully with the PowerChurch software to, you know, kind of identify that. But in total, that was about $103,641 through December 31. So that's the amount that went to... So this amount came out of the giving number, which is what I showed you right here. That's the 78 number here. And that came out of that general fund giving number. So what about the spending component? So you could say, just in general, as you'll see, our expenses exceeded giving directed to Wildwood Bible. So once you take out the money we gave to Valley Bible, our expenses exceeded the giving that remained. And then the other part was we drew down savings for giving some seed funds to the Valley Bible church plant. So the total budgeted spending is what you see in the bulletin there that Eric has tracked was the 255 number, and this is the 238 number earlier of direct general fund giving. So you can see that spending would exceed giving by about that much. So how would that change our total account balances? I don't have the total account balances. I typically, in the past, have shown what the total account balances are. Last year, I think the total account balances were like 390,000. This year, I'm not showing that total because we have some funds in Alaska USA and some funds in our credit union, and we're moving funds from one bank to another. And to avoid any confusion, I'll just wait till that transfer is done, and then we can report back what the account balances are. But basically, the account balances should be what we had last year, which is 390, minus the 25,000 we transferred directly, minus our shortfall in the 16,000. So the account balances should be 390, you know, minus that roughly 41,000 or something. So that's what the total account balances look like. This total general giving that we looked at, the 238, doesn't include special offering giving. And beyond that general giving, there was over $20,000 in other giving. And this would include gifts to the Poland, the Berlins, Heart to Heart, Kozlovs, and so on. And looking forward, the approved budget for next year, the 2023 calendar year, January to December, is 221. By way of reference, I think I might have mentioned this before when we talked about the budget for next year in December, the budget that was approved. The 22 budget, last year's budget, without Pastor Greg's salary, would have been about $214,000. So the budget for 2023 is about 3% higher. And essentially, accounts for a lot of the 3% is inflation-related reasons for a budget change. So you can see we're not too far from what the 2022 budget would have been, taking out Pastor Greg's salary. So you can say over the 10-month period, giving to Wildwood Bible in 2022 is like $238, and our budget for next year is roughly $221. So if giving patterns are similar, our budget for this next year, we should exceed our expenses and still be able to add to savings over the next year, the Lord willing. So I think this is kind of the big picture to keep in mind is, okay, what was giving last year, taking out Valley Bible giving, what's our budget for this next year? And generally, that looks really good, I think. And then the other thing real quickly to highlight is in 2023, we're making some changes to simplify and improve some stewardship. One is to try to make better use of this accounting software, PowerChurch, that Chet and Bob already use. It's just there's a lot more capabilities with it that we're going to try to figure out. The second thing we've done is reduce the number of bank accounts. So I mentioned we're moving from a credit union to a bank, and part of that involves moving money from multiple accounts to one or two main accounts. So it'll be a little easier to track that way. And the software is able to track a lot of those details that before we were using by tracking specific accounts. So that should reduce, that should simplify things a bit and improve transparency. And the other is Bob has been working with an accounting firm that specializes in church budgets and accounting, and we're getting some advice on them, on our processes and specific questions that come up. So those are kind of the three things that we're working on for 2023. And that's about it. I highlighted this in December, but I don't know if any of you have questions on any of this. Yeah, Phil?
Would you go back to the slide where you showed the possibility of bringing in an associate pastor?
Okay, so that's not a possibility of bringing in one. That was just saying maybe it was you're thinking about what our budget would have been without the associate pastor here. So in 2022, this wasn't our budget. In 2022, our budget was this plus Pastor Greg's salary and expenses and benefits. So that was much bigger. So if you back out of the 2022 budget, everything that we directed towards him, that would have been our budget for 2022. So our budget for 2023 doesn't include him, and this is the total budget, and it's about 3% more. So could we afford an associate pastor? Then that would be a separate conversation. If this was our giving in 10 months, if the giving would roughly be the same, you could say, well, there would be two more months of giving beyond expenses in addition to that, $17,000. So could we afford an associate pastor? That's maybe one way to think about it. We have 2 months of giving plus that $17,000. Mm-hmm. So anything else? All right. Well, Eric and Bob are also able to answer, detailed questions about, spending and what's in this account or that account. So they're here as well to answer any questions if you have anything.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Lance. Okay. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Bob, do you have that? I'm getting a lot of feedback, so let me just shut that off. There we go. All right, so any other questions on that financial part? We could talk with the guys and gals who are here afterwards, but that's our report. Let's move to now our vote. I'm going to do our deacon's vote in the Constitution, or the bylaws. It says to re-vote for the deacons every year, and we have all five names: Ben, Ibert, Lance Howe, Steve Johnston, Steve Duffy, and Britt Damon, who are on there, and just a private ballot. We're going to hand those out. I've got pencils up here. I'm borrowing these from you, Karen, so if you need a pencil, and then return the pencil. Yes. So that's been a good study, and I think the kids have enjoyed it. We're looking at of the team. It's not just those who come on Wednesday night. We also have those who are helping out administrative-wise and logistics. We got a regen camp that's coming up here this summer. So that's going to take a lot of planning, and it looks like LaVon has shouldered much of that, at least the financial side of it, and keeping track of who's wanting to go and getting those registrations in hand. February 19th, by the way, parents, that's the deadline for that early bird registration so that we can pay that up before March 1st and secure a spot on in the camp, because the camp will only hold a certain amount of people, and we want to get on that list. There's also raising, of course, help for kids, scholarships. Some kids are going to they want to go, but they might not have all the money to make it there, or plane flights. Parents are responsible to get the flights there, so we're looking if you can contribute airline miles to that. We'll do that. We'll try to work that out to help that, kind of like as a scholarship with some kids who are going to have difficulty paying for that. Otherwise, if you want to contribute financially to that, we'll take that as well. So you have to talk to LaVon about that, and we'll make that arrangement that can help some kids on the way. So regen is where we're focused on this summer, and that's at the end of July and into June. Bob, you had something there? Right. Okay. So, yeah, if you're going to give, and primarily what we're looking at, I'm going to give here, and it could show up on your tax return at the end, or I guess the form's back there for your giving. You can't assign it to a name. Just Wildwood Bible Church, you can put on the memo line, this is what they're asking for scholarships or asking for contribution to help that team. We could do that, and that will go towards helping out. And of course, then the board decides how we'll divvy that up. That's the idea to that, which speaks also to the giving as well. That's one of the key issues there. I guess Chet can even talk on that as well. Is if you give to the church, and I'm off-roading on this one here. If you give to the church towards something, and you designate that, and I say, I want it to give to this particular thing, there are certain rules on that. You can designate if you want, and we're forced to give that there, but better off that you give to the person that you're designating or to the ministry that you're designating to, unless we have set up something like, okay, we're going to take our evening offerings for heart to heart. All right, that's what I want to give towards, heart to heart. Well, that's good, because we've already set it up that way. We know what it's there, and it can be used in that way. But once you start designating, you start getting into the sticky wickets. Write your check to Wildwood and give, and we make decisions how we're going to spend that, and we'll tell you how we're going to use that in that way. But be careful about that designation issue. Now, I don't know if that was all confusing or anything. Got anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I would say just if it's a payment for, say, regen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, memo line, Wildwood Bible Church right on the top. That's who you're paying it to. Memo line it so he knows where it's going to go. Okay, and of course, if we're doing regen or anything youth ministry, talk to LaVon. She'll tell you how to do everything. Okay, so she's the boss on that one. Or what is it for? We need to know, what is this for? Are you paying a registration, or are you giving a gift? Those types of things are important, and we can guide you through that. So. Anyway, so we're taking offerings there or gifts there. If you want to help with that, fantastic. If you want to give airline miles, let us know on that. I don't even know how that plays out in terms of if we can even measure that out as an actual.
We do have an option for a non-cash donation.
Right.
There is that option for the
system. Okay, so yeah, we can work that out. But that would be super to know and have that in play. Winter retreat. We're going to have a winter retreat coming up here in March. That's a couple couple of nights, $90 I think is what we're going to cost or charge for that for each kid. That pays for the two nights that we're there and the food that it costs for each meal, and it's very simple. We're just going to head up here to the valley. We've been at the St. Teresa's camp up here. It's a Catholic camp owned by the Catholics, but they open it up to anybody, and we run the whole thing ourselves. So it's really, we're just renting a facility in our book there. And it's been fun with the kids to do that. We're going to have a fun time this coming spring break, March 15, 16, 17. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah. Oh. That's Rudy Poglich, is that his name?
Ruth is her name.
Ruth, okay. Okay, we'll keep that in prayer. Good. Thanks. Another thing about youth ministry I wanted to comment is, because that was a question that was brought up earlier this summer, I think, in our meetings as we were working through the church plant, was, will we then hire a youth pastor to replace Greg? At this point, that's not our plan. Financially, we have, I think, wait until we see where we're at as we grow and as our budget works its way out. It's too early to make that call at this point. There are other options towards youth type pastor or a music pastor or an associate or biblical counselor type of thing. There are internships that are possibilities where you offer an internship position. It could be a part-time pay type thing. So there are other options to do this type of ministry, and rather than hiring full-time and diving headfirst into the deep end. So just think about that. But we're looking towards down the future on that. We're going to wait this out and try to do youth ministry for sure from a lay person's and lay volunteers, and I think that would work out fine. So, okay. Anything else about youth ministry on that? Any questions you have for me? I'm not the youth pastor. I'm just helping. Okay, but I do some teaching, and I'm kind of giving some guidance, and I'd like to see the team kind of take on that administrative and leadership roles as we grow through that and find maybe a person who leads or a couple folks and work together. Love to see it working that way. All right, so let me turn it back around to children's ministry. Scott, you have some things to share with us. I don't even know. Do we need to now, as a group, vote for that? Or I think it's, we accept it, or officially Roger's rules of order, Robert's, Harry's, Steve's rules of order, something like that. Dan's rules of order. All right. So we have, and you had a second there? Steve, okay. Phil is seconded. Okay. So
everybody already said aye.
We all said aye, so we'll accept that vote. All right. Thank you. All right. Now it's up to you, Scott.
So I am the children's ministry director, and Scott Bleeker, just introduced myself over there. We have been enjoying teaching the children through the Old Testament. That's our main focus. Really just want to say thank you to all the teachers and volunteers that are very consistent and very faithful in serving our little ones all the way up through sixth grade, and also want to thank Rebecca, who's behind the scenes doing a lot, and thank you, Iberts, for stepping up when we're not available. That's really helpful. We are currently teaching through the book of Numbers. If any of the parents, anyone wants to keep up with what we're doing, there are family devotional materials so that you can reinforce what's being taught in Sunday school. If you're looking for a place to serve, children's ministry is a wonderful place to serve. I'd love to know if you have any desire to do that, and I would try to plug you in as I can. What we do is an annual training every August, end of August, usually, and we would make sure that you know what you're doing before you jump in there. It's just going along great. The kids really enjoy memorizing the verses. I'm sure it's just for the love of God's word. There might be a little bit of mixed in prizes that they get. We have a pretty killer fighter verse store. Some pretty sweet prizes that they're working for. So that's been fun. Children's ministry. Thank you.
All right. Music and tech ministry, audio, visual. I put that there for a reason, because we do have visual, and we would like to take that visual maybe a little more permanent. There's been talk about that, but music end of it. Britt, do you have any appeals? I just said, you know, more volunteers or folks who are interested in playing. Cantata, yeah.
So it's not really going to be a cantata. We're going to just do about 3 songs for Easter. So much lower, you know, what's the word? Commitment, that's it. Much lower commitment, 3 songs or so. So you can join Phil in the choir. He's got the pencil.
Yeah, right, Phil. You can bring your trumpet or your... Yes.
You know, a Sunday morning performance.
I believe that's the 9th, isn't it? Is it April 9th?
April
9th, yeah.
Do you want me to speak on nursery, or do you want to say anything else?
One more thing on there. I would like all of you guys are fairly regular here, but you're also now our recruiters for choir, because I know there are some folks who are not here tonight who can sing. Yeah. They can sing. Just get them. This is a way that they can kind of step up and find a place to play, and then they get to know us and get to know each other, and then there's more. So, yeah, recruit those voices that you hear. So, nursery, go ahead. You want to move on to nursery on that?
I think most of the people who are here today volunteer in the nursery.
Yeah. Right. So, all right.
And we can have men volunteer as well. So it's
And we are working through, there are protocols that we want to follow with the nursery. Obviously, we have background check protocols, but also how we want that group who's going to be assigned. There are certain things that we're going to work out. But one thing that you did share with me today is you prefer not to have a parent and a teen of that parent in the room at the same time.
No, as the only ones.
As the only ones, right.
Yeah. So when a teen starts, I do generally put them with their parent for their first time there because that makes them more comfortable.
Right.
But there's another adult in there as well. So what I'm trying to avoid is only that family members are the only adults in there with the children.
Right. And there's protocol reasons for that we want to try to be sure that we're covered there. Okay? All right. So talk to her if you want to help out. And again, recruit others. You're the recruiting, so, all right. Let's move to, I think there was something else with music. I'll pass on that. I'll wait until it comes. Discipleship ministries. We have a number of things going on and some things that we would like to even expand on as we have opportunities. Women's Bible Study meets twice a month, Tuesday mornings, 9 o'clock this week is the next one. Going through a book by Martha Peace, and right? No. Oh, John MacArthur. The girls, the young girls discipleship group, the teen girls are going through a Martha Peace book. Yeah, okay. Same idea. It's discipleship. Yeah. But that's a blessing, and I encourage others that you know, part of the church is helping and coming alongside each other and asking questions about where you're at, you know, what's been going on, what can I pray for you? And as you get to know people, these ministries are there that can be very helpful if with folks who may be struggling or have questions or looking for a way to get to know or get involved with, and that's an opportunity there. So recruit for that, and invite them to Women's Bible Study. I'd like to get started with some men's discipleship as well. We'll find some times to do that. There is also a doulos discipleship. Do you want to share anything about that? Or?
Sure.
All right. What is the doulos? Slaves of what?
Yes, doulos means slave in Greek. There you go. You can learn me a little later. So we have a youth ministry, and we have all of us adult people, but there is a group of after the youth ministry and going into the world, and are they going to college? Are they starting to work? You know, they're single, maybe they're trying to not be single, and there's not a ministry that we have right, we hadn't had one to minister to that group. So kind of feel like they were the, you know, the name that you want to use for that. And speaking of the name, they just chose that name. I said, hey, what do you want to, I don't know, did we even ask them, or did they just, they just chose, we're going to have a name, and it's doulos, so that's great. So there's 10 to 15, and it depends on if it's during the school year or during the summer. During the summer, our numbers go up, and once a month, we are getting together for a meal, fellowship, and a devotional time. We've been going through various booklets on, Rebecca and I have a ton of biblical counseling booklets, so we laid a whole bunch out there and said, okay, let's vote. What's your favorites? And so we started going through those with the group. Recently, we just finished up something by Alexander Strock, Equal Yet Different. So it talks about the roles of men and women biblically, which is really great, and we wanted to do that as a foundation before we go into, we're just about to start our next study on Mary Wisely, Mary Well, which is like a pre-premarital counseling. It's get yourself ready and be the kind of man or woman that God wants you to be before you even go down that road. And they're all pretty excited to do that. And so we'll be doing that for the next few months. Also, every once in a while, we throw in some other extra activity, whatever they want to do, just for extra fellowship. That's about it.
So yeah, college age and beyond, great opportunity. If you want to help out and serve in these ministries, so it's like, hey, that'd be cool. I'd like that age group. Talk to Scott, talk to myself. We'll point you in the right direction there. Biblical counseling ministry. Drop that in there. Do you have anything to share about that? All right, here we go.
Biblical counseling ministry. So the biblical counseling ministry, we do biblical counseling here at Wildwood, and we focus on the church here. It's basically an extension of preaching. Dan has the ability to reach a whole bunch of people all at once, which is very efficient in preaching the word, but a lot of the help that people need in living out the word is done on a more one-on-one basis. Now, that's all something that you and I do. We're all technically counselors, right? We're growing in that. We all counsel one another. We disciple one another, and we should be growing in that. But sometimes various members get stuck in a rut, and they need some extra intensive discipleship. So that's my understanding of biblical counseling and what we do. There's also a foundational underpinning that I believe everyone here would say the Word of God is sufficient. And biblical counseling is a practical outworking of the sufficiency of Scripture. Basically, we say, we don't jettison the Word of God when it comes to difficult problems of life, that God gave us theology not just to have theology, but to actually live out in our lives. So the Word of God is used to minister to suffering saints, and that's our philosophy. If you want to know more about that, let me know. A lot of you probably know this already, but there's a certifying body called Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, or ACBC. I am certified in ACBC. I'm a certified counselor. If you go to their website, you'll see certified counselors. You will not see my name. I was certified in 2020, and I said, you can choose. Do you want to be on the site or not? And I said no, because we have enough needs here, and I'm a shepherd here. And so that's the main reason, and that's the main focus of our biblical counseling ministry. It's not, hey, let's go out into the community right now and let's refer them all into the church. We could get there, but I'm going to need your help. Let me know if you're interested in getting trained. I have one class left in a Master of Arts in Biblical Counseling, and then I have to do my thesis. So the class is this summer, and the thesis is in the fall. Please pray for me as I finish that. It's been a long time coming. But part of that degree is equipping me to be able to equip others. So my hope is that we're going to be equipping others in the body to help in those intensive discipleship needs. I know we've got a couple at the Valley Church that are also interested as well and are actively pursuing ACBC certification. So if you have other questions, talk to me, talk to Dan about biblical counseling, and that's about all.
Let me just check in here, make sure Scott's not coming up again. I think he's good. All right. Okay. And on that, I wanted to make a point, and there's discussion and talking this over with the elders and amongst a few of us, and it involves Sunday night worship service and Wednesday nights. Right now, Wednesday night is pretty much exclusively dedicated to the youth ministry. We're looking at pausing the Sunday evening worship and maybe moving over and providing some classes Wednesday night, parenting classes, marriage class, biblical counseling courses type stuff. We've done that in the past. Maybe some, we'd like to do more elder leadership type of coursework, training classes. I've called it a Shepherd's Institute in the past. Men's discipleship, there's a lot of ways that we could do that, and probably focusing that more on Wednesday night, and therefore Wednesday night will be a little more bolstered up as a kind of a traditional in the past. Churches meet on Sunday, and they meet on Wednesday, and midweek type stuff, and provide something for that for everybody. And so that's what we're looking at here in the fairly near future. Probably March is when we'll get there. So we'll probably be pausing Sunday evening worship. That doesn't mean we're not doing anything on Sunday night. There could be other things that we could be doing Sunday night. There could be times in the home, Bible studies in the home, or youth type things. We just want to think about that. Part of that has to do with my time and my resources and what I can possibly pull off, and preaching on Sunday night, preaching on Sunday morning, leading youth ministry, and trying to do other things that I would like to do. I have a limited amount of time to do that. So that's part of the thoughts there. And I know there's some folks, they come on Sunday night, and they've been able to do that because they can't come on Sunday morning. And I hope we can at least provide something else Wednesday night and other means so that can be met. But that's a thought that's thrown out here. And my intention in doing that is I want to provide a little more instructive type of opportunities. And I know parenting and marriage, those are always types of topics that are good to kind of recycle through again. Families come in. We start having families with babies that hopefully have more of those. And they want parenting, and they need parenting, and we want to provide that. We can't do it all on Sunday morning, Sunday school type stuff. So, okay, so just kind of put that in your mind and to think about that. And if there's any questions you have about that or thoughts or comments about that, please talk to me afterwards or one of the other elders. Okay, Vacation Bible School, Cochran Hills, there's two ministries there that we're committed to every year at this point, so far as we can provide. The Vacation Bible School dates 19th to 23rd, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's a morning route. I've got all of it right here, all the resources initially. If you're interested in that and looking at possibly taking a position there or volunteering, that we're looking for volunteers for that. The shirts that I threw out there for you guys, what shirts do you want? They are here as well. So you can grab your shirt if you were making an order there or ask for something there if you're interested in that. So afterwards, we can take a look at what you got here, and we could start forming a team for Vacation Bible School. I'll have a meeting. I think at this point, the meeting, I'm going to try to pull this off on the 12th, which is the day Todd Dick is here, but we haven't really formulated what we're going to do on that day, if there's a potluck or not. I don't know. February 12th. I don't know if they're... we're going to pull a potluck or not. We'll see. But we've had a lot of potlucks. It's at three in a row. Three this month, kind of, for some of us. So, but I want to get that meeting soon so we can start rolling things out and get folks to sign up or volunteer for roles in different places. And obviously, there's a lot of folks that are involved with running a good Vacation Bible School, but we've been doing the same Answers in Genesis for years. We know how to do it. It's super fun. It's a lot of good stuff there, a lot of good resources and materials, but I'm hoping we get enough adults to do that. There were over 100 kids that showed up last year. That was, I think, the most we've had ever, but that was pretty impressive and pretty cool, and we were able to get some contacts and have them come back in other ways and other venues to our church here. So we'll just try to keep that relationship built. Cochran Hills, That is the dates there, 13 to 22. Those dates basically mean the day we're driving out of the parking lot here and the day we're driving back. And there's a lot more involved with that. Spending a night in Nenana, flying out the next day, 5 days of camp with two on each end, because you got to then, we fly in as a staff, and then the same pilots turn around the next day and they go to the villages and they collect the kids for the camp, and that's that fly day for them. And then we do a 5 day camp, and then it's reversed. So the kids get taken back to their village, we get taken back to Nenana, we drive back home here. So it's a pretty much 10 days commitment. It's a lot of fun, very busy, and a lot of mosquitoes, but we have ways to fight them off. And the last camp we had this last summer, we got smoked out from fire, unfortunately. But pray for that. Pray that the Lord would open the windows of heaven and make sure that it's all sunshine and we're good to get in there. And we want to rally a team. We're looking to have another team from Southern California, Josh and Marta Mack. They reached out already with us and said, are you going to do this again this year? I'm like, yes, we are. If you guys are interested, we're willing to have you there. So we're going to have a team from Southern California with us. My daughter Emily is recruiting at Cedarville at this point and getting other students. She had two of her friends come last summer, and we ended up going to Shen Bible Camp and helping them out there. And because we got canceled at Cochran Hills, but everything worked out okay there. But so that's our plan, and the cost is $650 per person. That's the total cost to fly and board and everything else. And we're looking to offset those costs at this point. The elders are talking about this with missions money that we have, and trying to cut that thing in half and provide a way for the transportation end of it. Half the cost there is the flying, and the other half is really just the food and being at the camp. But the flying is a very costly thing, and it's probably going to be more expensive this year depending upon where the inflation is. But the pilots and the planes, they're all volunteer, but it costs money for them. And so the camp itself basically gives them a gift that tries to match what it costs for them, and that $325 is about roundabout where that costs. So that's what we're going to try to provide for. So just saying that $650 is the number, but we're looking to at least supplement that from our missions fund here. Okay, so if you're interested in that, please let me know. I'll get a sign-up sheet going. We'll have a meeting soon, maybe looking at March for that meeting. So, all right. Any questions so far on those? Any further conversation on that? You can talk to me afterwards, and we'll get more detail. Building and grounds. You guys got something to say or contribute? Yeah. Or projects that we may have. We have a room over there that's vacant, and we have some project planners at this point, and painting and all that. So things to do there.
Outdoors as well.
I'll get with you about that leak that's happening over there, tell you what's going on. But okay. On that building, I just want to comment here, a building plan itself. I was brought up, I believe Chet brought this up at our last meeting, about we ought to be thinking in terms of if we grow and expand as a church, looking at property or looking at either moving from here, building a new building or expanding or what it would take here to accommodate. Right now, our parking is pretty limited. We're able to use this lot over here. No one's bellyached about that. It's owned by the person who owns the strip mall. But we're still limited. And from what I've heard, there are people that have come, parking lots loaded up, turn around and go find another church to go to. And we don't want that to happen. This lot right over here is owned by Gilbert, who is the owner of Jalapenos. He's keeping it. He's going to turn it into a parking lot, and he's speaking with, spoke with him on the phone. He said he wants to offer first our opportunity to rent that if we wanted to. So there's a way to cover there, but that doesn't tell us how to expand and make space for our building. So what I would like us to do is if we can get a volunteer or volunteers who are interested in looking into property, building, expansion, whatever, costs, opportunity, where it could happen here in Eagle River. We'd like to keep it within our general vicinity here. Those types of things. We've done this way back in the past, and I think we just kind of stopped by way of growing at some point, and the costs seemed to be exorbitant, I think, in the past based on what they were trying to, what they thought would be best. But we had some of those things out. Maybe we resurrect those papers and those ideas, but that's one thing that I'd like us to do. The second is, in order to do that, what would it cost to build and pay for a new building or new property? And the way we start that out is start paying ourselves. Once we figure out a cost, at least up to this, before we do that, we could start paying ourselves a monthly mortgage. And right now, as Lance showed, the money's there and what our giving has been for the 10 months, and then you project it out over a 12-month period and what our budget is. If we stay even there, we got a little bit of money that's a cushion there that we could be paying, using that as paying ourselves a mortgage. And the goal on that, and Scott was talking with First National, right, banks will loan you if they could see you paying yourself or showing that you can pay a mortgage consistently as a church. So, and that's been the counsel, is start paying a mortgage, start paying monthly into something that will go towards what would be a building plan and prove that for a bank who would then approve a loan for us on that. So that's kind of the plan, I think, at this point, at least very initial. But we ought to be looking towards that. If we don't, we're just going to go through the same cycle we've done. We kind of build, grow up, build, and burst at the seams, and then we drop out as people leave or whatever. And we just kind of get to a point we can't grow much bigger. We run out of parking space, and now what do we do? And no plan in place. So I would like us to take some steps in that direction. Okay? Any comments or questions about that or ideas? I have a volunteer. Go ahead, Lance. You know, I looked at the cost of that. I remember it was somewhere close to $2 million, if I'm correct on that, back in that day. And ACF rented it from them. And now I think they've purchased it. So I think that was the cost there, yeah. So, but yeah, research like that, take over a building. There's a Spenard builder supply that's empty here, but it's owned by a Kloutna. So you have to think about, what would that mean, leasing a Kloutna land? So, I don't know, maybe we can make some friends with a Kloutna, and they say, here, it's all yours. Yeah, I don't know. So there may be some restrictions here and there. Someone was talking about what was the former movie theater, restaurant. That's a different... It's a builder that's owned that, I believe. Is it Hickel?
Yeah, Hickel Construction. You're going to find the same thing with them. I spoke with the guy who knows them very well, and you'll probably find the same. They'll want to lease it to you.
Right. They don't want to sell anything. Yeah. Okay. So those are things we'd love to have someone research that out, give us some details that we can work with, and in the meantime, we can commit to as we look at our giving, and I look at our basic budget, monthly budget. We meet that budget. We are now from January. As of the first 4 weeks, we still got this week's giving that would contribute into that. We can give some amount of money towards like a virtual mortgage and still be meeting our needs. So we're in good shape, and we'd love to see that grow more. As the church grows, then we can even improve on that. Okay. All right. Well, missions team. John, go ahead. I think I'm getting a red light on this guy, but I think it still makes
sense. It's still green. Missions this year, we actually did quite a bit. This is the first full year for the Martins in Ruby. I don't know that it has grown any, but they're regularly meeting. Jordan is able to work in the school. He teaches like a wood shop and some other things, so he has interaction with junior high kids and younger. The high school kids go to Galena, typically. There aren't any high school kids in the village during the winter. So we added the Martins. This year, we have also added to the rotation a Sunday night, the church in Poland, where they're giving aid to Ukrainian refugees, as well as the Berlins in Bangladesh. Our other ministries that we've actually added during 2022. Some other things that we did through missions is new things were when the Hulks had an emergency, lost their truck to a fire, they were able to replace it, and we were part of his supporting churches that were able to raise the funds. I don't have the dollar amount. But those were kind of some new things that we did. We also went to, as Dan mentioned, Shen Bible Camp. When we canceled because of the smoke, we went to Tok. And there were, maybe half a dozen that went out to the camp, counselors and support. And then there were another half dozen of us that stayed and worked on a expansion project on their church. So we got to start pouring a foundation and things like that. So missions, we were able to serve quite a bit. When you went to Croatia 20 years ago, how many students did you teach?
At the Croatia school, there was, I believe, six.
Yeah, they had 20 graduates this year. Awesome. Yeah, awesome. We'll hear more about that in a couple weeks when Todd's here. They're pulling students from several other Central or Eastern European countries, conferences, that pull pastors in from other countries, and they've grown from a few churches to many, and so it's a real blessing to be long-term supporters of the ministry there in Croatia. And of course, we heard from David and Ann this morning. So new things that we have for 23, the only thing that I'm looking at right now is this work trip up at the radio station in Nenana. Mike has asked that we keep the team small, but I do need a committed team that will be sure to go and work. So we're probably looking at sending two different groups, one in early mid-June and one in August. So there's inside, outside work, most of it's maintenance, painting, brush, maybe stacking wood. None of it's technical. It's just all work that they've gone from, you know, 4 or 5 person staff to one, and Mike just can't keep up with everything. So we're going to go help. There's a particular project he really wants to emphasize. Is he said there's, and he told me a number, and it was a fantastic number of people that ride the train from Fairbanks to the park every year. I mean, like tens of thousands. Maybe he said 100,000. I don't remember. And he said they drive right by the tower, and the tower site looks like a dump. So he'd like to clean that up and put a big sign up there that you've got a Christian radio station here in Alaska. So that's one of the things we're kind of excited about doing. Let's see. Now, we have talked a little bit about some changes, and we really haven't decided how we will do if when we no longer have an evening service, how we will support Mufumuzi Baby House, Heart to Heart, Berlin's, the Polish Church. So it's in the talking process, but we think we'll be able to include all that. We'll probably average what we've given over the last couple of years and include it in the budget. We also have a plan in the talking stage how to expand the missions budget so that we can take on more and support to a greater degree. Anybody have any questions of what we're have done, doing?
Yeah. The question I have is the designated money on Sunday night, so you're trying to figure out what you can do. And I've often wondered, because we don't have near as many people in the evening as in the daytime that in the morning service, is if we couldn't come up with a name so that people even in the morning could write a memo that is designated for that special offering. And so Chet would be able to, somebody could give a check in the morning for what we've been doing for the evening.
That's one of the things we've been talking about, and there's kind of a technical point that I think the elders have to do in order to be able to designate like that. It gets kind of complicated otherwise. So I think that's one of the things we are going to do, is that, you know, maybe even keep a monthly rotation. Hey, this week, missions, the special missions project's Heart to Heart. I mean, we could do it that way. So we're undecided right now. So yeah, okay. Anything else, Bob?
Just to comment on what Steve was saying, I think what he mentioned is already happening, and a number of people do that. And the reason that I say that is when you look at the numbers that have been coming in on a weekly basis. Sunday to Sunday, just the 3 weeks in the month of January in 2023, our designated evening offering, which is going to Heart this month, is at $1,200. And we have, and that doesn't include today's giving. So I think what the point I'm trying to make is we certainly can make projects and indicate that that is something in addition to our regular
right.
That can be either by due checks or
use the envelope and write on the envelope, yeah.
Take that kind of thing,
yeah.
To keep the evening
Okay.
The yearly annual commitment.
Okay.
So we can, there's ways to get around it by definition, but I think we can be encouraged that there is an interest in, money that are coming to the
sure.
projects.
Okay. Yeah, good, good. So yeah, we'll let you know on, that officially what we do when we stop the evening service. So yeah, if you wanted to separate things like that, be sure you use the envelope. What makes it easiest for you, Chet?
The envelope works.
Okay.
Envelope.
Okay.
If not, I'll just pick it up.
Good. All right.
Yeah, one thing you can't do, or I'd highly discourage, is write one check and say, split this check for me into this and this. Make it a little easier for us. Write a check for this envelope. Tell in the envelope, there's a memo or there's a line there, this is what it's for, and then the other would be general giving. If there's nothing assigned to it, it's general giving. That's always the case. So that's what we're, a designation is basically you're ruling what you want to do with that, and we're hands off. We have to give it towards that, or we give it back to you and say you hand it to them. So that's how that works. So, okay.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention one thing that Mike told me yesterday about the radio station. You know, they house us when we go up for Cochran Hills as well, and they have a empty house that is used just for people moving in and out. They have some mattresses on the floor, and if we send a team up there with 30 people, it sure would be nice if maybe had some cots. I don't know, you know, used to be able to get an Army surplus cot for $10, you know, now it's probably $1,000.
Going back to Mike Arena is the one who's directing that up there in Nenana. They have every year, whenever we send a team to Cochran Hills, it's the radio station. They have the property and they receive us and they give us a place to stay. We're not paying a nickel for that. It's all donated. One of the guys working there is Adam White. He's one of the pilots who flies us in and out. They're not charging us anything. They do all that for us. So we want to be able to give something back to them for the appreciation of that and build that relationship with these guys and their sweet group of guys. And I'm on the board, by the way, so shameless plug. I'm the board for Voice for Christ Ministries as well. So I know the guys. They're good guys. Okay. And one more on this list called Hospitality and Service Coordinator. We are forming a person here whose responsibility or job is kind of that liaison, the go-to person for coordinating service opportunities that would involve what seems to happen around here, but with some confusion because there's no specific person to go to and make sure, and Doris is the one that is going to take it on. Baby showers, potlucks, baptism assistance, hospitality, meals for the sick, other things like that, that generally we don't have a pastor to do or a special person. That's one, your one job. We can sign all that, but I think what we would like to have is one person here. Here's the go-to. Go talk to Doris. See if Doris can make some arrangements or see if Doris knows what's going on there before you go ahead and start putting money out or start doing something. Maybe someone else is involved. So just a way to coordinate all that stuff that goes on in our church. So I'm just going to point you all to our hospitality and service coordinator. We've labored over that name. What do we call this? Put a crown on her head. I don't know. Special badge, a medallion.
Maybe even some clarification, too. That doesn't mean she does all that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's
Correct. Yeah. So when I say baby showers, we've had a person who you're in charge of baby showers in the past who come and go. Well, who do I go to for a baby shower? Well, talk to Doris. She knows who to go to. She knows what's going on here. Well, yes. The all-knowing one. Yeah. So that's who she's, that's the role she's going to play. If we want to decorate the church, you better run that by Doris. If you want to pick a paint color, you want to pick a paint color, I've got this great paint and I want to paint it on the wall because it's left over in my garage. Why don't you run that by Doris first? So, okay, that's the idea. All right. Okay. And that's all I have for the ministry side of things. I don't know. Did I miss anything out? Or someone else saying, wait a minute, you didn't let me talk. But I think we're covered. Okay. Well, let me give you a couple statements here as we wrap up our meeting. Statements from the Board of Elders. A few things here. Certainly want to speak about the church plant that has taken place, is in the works at this point. We're thankful to God that the church plant, Valley Bible Church, is launched, progressing forward. They're looking for a more permanent place right now. Looks like there's a school that they're going to settle into for the foreseeable future here, sometime here in the middle February, so that they can meet in the mornings. They've yet to be able to find a place where they can meet in the Sunday mornings, so they're meeting Sunday evenings. Our relationship as an elder board, maybe the question, well, what is our relationship? How do we now interact here? From the elder board of Wildwood Church, we're serving the Valley Bible Church in a consultation relationship. We're not running anything here. We're not dictating everything per se. We're letting Greg lead that, and there's a team of guys right now that are the interim board of men that are in training. They're going through elder training through some good resources, and they're just working on that and growing until they can achieve what would we say the first elder board, and whoever that would be. And we would be overseeing that and helping and consulting in that relationship. And so as they progress towards establishing that board in the future, they'll operate by that interim board and make basic decisions. And under the shepherding guidance of Pastor Greg, John Sherman is kind of that shadow there. He's there in the meetings, and he will be kind of our representative in a way. Instead of all of our elders at everything they do, John's going to be kind of our eyeballs in the sky and in the room to assist and to consult in that way. So our board will function in an advisory consultant relationship for them, and we'll be responsible in the long run here for vetting, installing the first elders, and trusting the process to Greg and John to lead that. And so he's kind of present alongside Greg. So that's how that is. And let me give you a statement here. We want an elder board. It's called a plurality of eldership. That's the polity, or the way a church is governed. There are different ways in which different churches govern themselves. You're probably a lot more familiar with the congregational rule approach, and that is generally a pastor, he's the elder of the church, and then everything is voted. There's a deacon board, but really everything is voted on. So decisions that are made by money or carpet color or this, that, and the other, it is an up-down vote on those things. And that's kind of the popular way that churches run things, kind of a democratic way, if we want to use that term. But as I'm looking at Scripture and studying Scripture, what we find in the New Testament is the examples there of churches being established, and when the apostle established them, he puts elders there, and those are the leaders and the overseers of the church. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about how they're to respect the churches, to respect those who labor among you and are over you, and the Lord admonish you to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. He's speaking about that elder group, those men who lead the church. Other passages describe them as those who shepherd the flock and teach and give guidance. So it's that body that is that we have, an elder board. It's a plurality, meaning that there's more than one, ideally, and they're equal in terms of voting or in terms of authority. So we share that, and when we make decisions, it need to be unanimous. If there's dissent on that, we don't move forward with the decision. So that's how the voting goes. In terms of our church here, we vote and we ask for votes, and the vote itself is meant to be an affirmation. We have decisions, and we bring some decisions or some important matters before the congregation. We would like a vote on these particular things, as whether you affirm that, whether you approve of that, or as we're gathering feedback. That's an important way in which we want to make decisions. The bylaws describe a corporate membership and a church membership, and there's difference there. In the corporate, or the corporation, bylaws say this: the corporation shall have no members. Any action which would otherwise require approval by a majority of all members shall only require approval of the board of elders. All rights which would otherwise vest in the members shall vest in the board of elders. The membership voting privileges is in this church shall not vest in any members any proprietary rights in the corporation, but shall only entitle the member to vote at a meeting of the members and on those matters that the board of elders chooses to submit to the church membership for affirmation. So there's something of the corporate idea, and kind of like the board, the CEOs and the chairman and whatnot, and would make the decisions. The proprietary rights in the corporation rest in them rather than all the membership, is the idea. Okay. Two things about that is a key feature to that leadership, as I said, is equal in authority, and decisions are finalized upon unanimous approval by the board of elders and the membership of that board of elders. And another aspect is the delegating of authority under the oversight of the board. It doesn't mean the elders do everything and make all the decisions. There's oversight, there's shepherding, and we delegate responsibilities to people, and they operate under that delegated authority from the elder board, given monies for a particular ministry. Are you responsible for that? You're responsible to see this ministry operate well and operate within the budget, within the monies that you're allotted to. So that's standard how an elder board, an elder-run church would go. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify that, and we would like to see that, and we're striving to see that happening with the Valley Bible Church, that there would be that board developed of qualified men, spiritually minded men, that will give guidance and leadership to that church. Okay? All right. I think that's all I have. And we can pray. And if you got any questions, you can talk to me afterwards. But let me close in prayer, and then we'll adjourn the meeting. Yep. Yeah. Let me pray first, and then we'll do a motion to adjourn. Let's do that. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for our time, and we pray as we continue to move forward, looking at this new year and looking at the opportunities we have, we pray that you'd raise up the volunteers, raise up more people to be drawn into our church, and that when we're busy in ministry and we're busy with people and their lives, it is a blessing. It's exactly what you would want to see here. And we pray that you would bless us with that and encourage us. Give us the energy, give us the wisdom, give us the gifts that are needed to do things well. And I do thank you for everyone here tonight and what they've contributed and how much they mean to me as a pastor and how much they mean to the body, that we would all understand that and we would be thankful for how you have built up and establish this church. We thank you, and thinking of our missions and reminded of how we have been able to impact through giving and prayer, and even heading out into places like Cochrane Hills and short-term missions. I pray that you would help us to expand that and have more and broader impact and involvement and investment into the world and the missions of the world. We love to hear the stories. We love to hear real people like David and Ann Sheehan and how they put the very simple things of conversations, of knocking on doors and checking on people who are ill, and use that for the gospel. Who else would do that? We want to send people to do that. And we have sent David and Ann, and we're thankful that we can have that place in Thailand, and we pray that we'll be able to extend that and expand that in other places as well with some godly and spiritually driven and spiritually blessed and empowered people. And we pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we'll take a motion to adjourn. Did you raise your hand? All right. Have a second. All right. Then we have Steve the second and Scott as the first, and thus we are adjourned. All right. Thank you. Yes.